You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Great to be here with you this morning. I've got good news for you. You want some good news? 2020 is almost gone. That's true. 2020. How would you describe 2020? Well, I remember in March when we had a cough or felt or had an earache or whatever, we'd panic and the enemy would try to get into our minds and says, this is it. This is that which was spoken by the you know who. And Glenys and I, we had a couple of people from England stay with us, and they had to stay 2 weeks extra because of they couldn't get a flight back. But we turned to Psalm 91, and we decreed it and declared it every day. We are in the secret place. We abide under your shadow. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my strength, my fortress. Glenys almost memorized it after we finished. It was fantastic. Remember the panic buying? Hey? You still got toilet paper that you bought in February last year, or this year? Then there's the separation from our families, interstate as well as here. Some of the words that we used to describe this year was loneliness, confusion, uncertainty, extreme, heartache, loss of loved one. Then there's funeral restrictions. I did a funeral service for Margaret's mum, and we had to have only 10 people there. Unprecedented times, crazy times, people felt stifled. And I'm sure if we were honest with ourselves, we all felt a little bit like this from time to time. But in hope. In hope. We live in a world with all these feelings of uncertainty, but our hope, praise God, is in Jesus. Our hope is built on nothing less. Come on. But Jesus' blood and righteousness. You don't have to be held captive by these natural thoughts and fears and worries because our hope is in him. And like the old song that we used to sing, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face and the things of earth. What's the next line? Will go strangely dim. And then the latest song that we sing, Waymaker, Promise Keeper, even when you don't think he's looking after you, he hasn't stopped working. For 8 to 9 months, he hasn't stopped working in your life and in my life. Praise God. And so I've got good news for you today. The Word of God is going to minister His grace, His mercy, and His love to you. I want us to pray for this moment. I want the Holy Spirit to open our ears, open our understanding as we say goodbye to 2020 and get ready for 2021. Let's just pray. Father, we just want to thank you for this day. We thank you, Father God, as we prepare our hearts in readiness, Father God, for the new year, Father God, new possibilities, new things that you've purposed and planned for our lives personally and for the life of this church. And Father God, we pray that you'll give us listening ears, understanding hearts, that we may hear the Spirit of God speak into our heart and deposit in our heart the words that we need to hear this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of my message this morning is As for Me and My House, We Will Serve the Lord. When I came home from Vietnam in 1971, I made a little agreement with Jesus. I said, Jesus, Sunday's your day. It's the Lord's day. But Monday to Saturday is my day. And so this is absolutely true. And then, you know, I actually saw myself sitting on a fence. When Sunday came, I'd fall on the Lord's day. I'd go to church. I said, Lord, this is your day and I'm going to church. And he said, rah. No, he didn't. And Monday came around. I was back on the fence and slipped very quietly to the other side, my side. And Jesus challenged me. He said, I want every day to be my day. That reminds me of a little story that I heard just recently. Don't laugh, please. But one time there was a chicken and a pig. They walked in front of the church. And they heard music and the little chicken was so moved that he said, let's give them ham and egg. And the pig said, for you it's an offering. For me it's total commitment. I've soon learnt that life is full of decisions. In the army, decisions are made for you. Isn't that right, Phil? Adam had to make a decision when he was in the garden. Abraham had made a decision about offering his son Isaac. Moses had to make a decision about whether to lead the people out of Egypt. David had to make a decision about going to kill Goliath. Elisha had to choose whether to follow Elijah. Esther had to make a decision to save her people from certain death. But then she became reluctant. And this is what her uncle said to her in Esther 4, verse 13 and 14. Do not think if you're in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise from the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And here's the question to you. Who knows whether you've come to Gateway Church for such a time as this? See, he has a plan for your life. He has a purpose for your life. Jesus made that decision in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not my will, but thine be done. Yes, I'm going to go to the cross. And he challenged us to make a decision about taking up our cross and following him daily. The word, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, was given to me in a dream several months ago. There were six specific dreams that God gave to me during this COVID time. So it wasn't a waste of time for me. And Joshua made this statement in Joshua 24, verse 15. I love studying Old Testament characters. Do you? When you study them, you find that they've got the same weaknesses, faults, and failings that you and I have, and yet God moved mightily upon them in spite of their foibles and their faults and their failings. And God can use you and I in spite of our faults and our failings and our mistakes. You see, the verb in Hebrew for the name Joshua means to be unrestricted, oppressed, and unrestricted, to be free and saved from restriction, from oppression, and from failure. That's what his name means. And maybe you felt, to some degree anyway, restricted, oppressed. Maybe some have felt a little bit depressed from time to time, and even feeling a sense of failure. But what does God want for us? To be unrestricted. To be free and saved from restriction, from oppression, and from failure. Let's claim that for 21. Come on, let's do it. Let's do it in Jesus. We claim it for 21. Unlimited possibilities that we have in Jesus. The Bible says, whom the Son sets free shall be free indeed. Free from oppression, from failure, from restrictions, from limitations. Last Sunday, when we had the service outside, I just looked up to the sky and I saw this sole eagle, just this one eagle, flying. And as I kept on looking at it for several minutes, not one time did it flap its wings. Not once. Not once did it flap its wings. It started in just encircling over the top of this building. The updraft of the air current just lifted it up. Just took it higher and higher and higher. And the Holy Spirit said to me, that's what I want for my people. To soar above the things of the earth. No more flapping with fear, worry, confusion, uncertainty, but soaring above these things. And that's what I'm believing for you and me for 2021. So who was Joshua? Well, Joshua was born in Egypt. He went through the desert for 40 years with the other people. He was one of the 12 spies that went into the promised land, a spy at the promised land, and Pastor Bevan made mention of this a couple of weeks ago in his sermon. And only he and Caleb brought back good reports. He loved the presence of God. He was a mighty soldier and he took over the leadership from Moses. And at the end of the book of Joshua, he rehearsed the past history of Israel. What God had done for them. He mentioned Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. And he mentioned Egypt. He mentioned going through the Red Sea. Mentioned all those things. He mentioned how God destroyed the armies that were even greater than them. You see that in Joshua 24. You know, one of the things I like about this, it's good to look back to where God has brought you from. Look back to the way God has developed and worked on your life. Look back at what has happened and seen, as you look back, you can see there's been levels of growth in your life. To look back, but also to look forward to where he's taking you. Now, Joshua would not have made this statement, as for me and my house, unless he proved it into his own life. He said, there are things I have applied to my life over the many years. These things I've applied to my life for many years. Things that have helped me grow and stay strong without wavering in my trust in God. And these are the keys that kept me strong in my walk with God. When God said to me, fear not, fear not. In fact, four times he said to me, fear not. I knew there was something in me that I need to address. I need to put into my life. Obviously, God saw something in my life that I need to deal with. And so I put certain things in place in my life. And so Joshua shared life's lessons that he learned with the people to help them in their future and how to maintain their relationship with God, to assure them of rest from their enemies, and to bring them into their inheritance. There are five important lessons that he wanted to impart into them. And you know, as I looked at those five important lessons, they are absolutely relevant for each one of us today. And if you apply these principles in your life, it'll strengthen your family. It'll strengthen you personally. It'll strengthen you in your marriage. It'll strengthen you in your walk with God. It'll cause you to constantly be focused on him. Every aspect of your life will develop in the ways that God has for you. And the first key that I see in this is the word. In Joshua 26, verse 6, it says, so be courageous and steadfast to keep and do that is written in the book of the law of Moses, turning not aside from him to the right hand or to the left. Listen to what God said to Joshua before he started off his ministry. This is in Joshua 1:7. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. I want to prosper wherever I go. I'm sure you do. Prosper in the things of God. I wish you above all else that you'd be prosperous and be in health, even as your soul prospers, the Apostle John said. So how powerful is the Word of God? In Hebrews 4:12, it says, for we have the living Word of God, living. It's alive. Living Word of God, which is full of energy, and it pierces more sharply than a two-edged sword. It will even penetrate to the very core of our being, where soul and spirit, bone and marrow meet. It interprets and reveals the true thoughts and secret motives of the heart. How powerful is the Word of God? Psalm 119, verse 11, the psalmist said, I treasure your word above all else. I want to come to a place where I can make that as a declaration for myself. I treasure your word above all else. It keeps me from sinning against you. In James 1:22, in the Message Bible, says, don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener when you are anything but. Letting the word go in one ear and out the other, act on what you hear. So what he's saying is, don't be just a hearer of the word, but a doer. You see, the Bible is so powerful. It's a lamp unto our feet and light unto your path. It says here that God honors his word. And this is something that absolutely astounds me sometimes. God honors his word above his name. I've looked at that verse time and time again. What does it mean? God honors his word above his name. He is the word. Jesus overcame temptation in the wilderness by saying, it is written. You know, in Muslim countries, Christians are called people of the book. Did you know that? People of the book. That's what they call Christians. My first time in Indonesia in 2005, I think it was, I was supposed to go with another pastor, and he chickened out. No, he couldn't go for some reason. So I was a little bit unsure of myself going over there on my own. But I went. And I was asked to share at their Bible college. They had about 50 students. And the Holy Spirit began to show me exactly what to say to them. I said to them, you know, if you weren't put in jail for your belief in God because you're a Christian, the only thing that will sustain you in prison is the Word of God. You may not be able to have the Bible with you, but you need to have the Word inside of you. And so I said to them, I said, I want you to read Psalm 119. And I said, whatever God speaks to you, write it down. A phrase, a sentence, a word, just write it down. Within 15 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes, I looked up and some of them were sobbing. When I got to share what they had written down, most of them were in tears, just crying. There, some of them on the floor, just absolutely bawling their eyes out. The Spirit of God just came upon them. And they came to an understanding of the incredible power the Word of God has. And it really brought home to me the hunger that they had for the Word of God absolutely astounded me. And Joshua said to the people, keep and do what the Word says. Keep and do. The second key was separation. In verse 7, it says, that you may not mix with these nations that remain among you, or make mention of the names of their gods, or swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them. In the Bible, it speaks of the fact that we are in the world, but not of it. And Jesus gives meaning to this in John 17, verses 15 to 18. He says, I am asking you to take them. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to the world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me in the world, I am sending them into the world. And Romans 12, 2 says it like this. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into the new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And this is what the Bible says about what we should do while we're in the world. In Matthew 5, 16, this is what Jesus said. In the same way, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. See, the world needs to see there's something different about you and I. And I believe we're going to see that more and more. They're going to see there is something different about you. And Joshua said, listen, I made a decision to separate and not allow myself to be influenced by the world's standards. And I'm asking you to do the same. Don't allow the world to control you and dictate to you the way you should live your life. The third key is relationship, verse 8. But cling to the Lord your God as you have done to this day. You know, this to me speaks of intimacy with God. You ever seen a child in the supermarket or somewhere? Something happens and they run to their mother and they cling to their mother. Hold on to their mother. That's a picture of what this word means. If you love your God, hold fast to him. Hold him tight. You know, I've been influenced by a couple of people in this church to grow things in the garden. I've just grown beans this year. And I noticed that with the beans, they put out feelers, and the feelers then entwine themselves around the wire or around the trestle. And as I was pondering over this, I had this thought come to me. The reason why the bean shrub does this is to hold it steady during the strong winds. And I notice when we have strong winds, those little beans just hold steady. This little bush holds steady. But the second thing it does, it holds it upright and strong when the beans start to appear and grow on that tree. And God said to me, like those feelers, we hold tightly to him, especially in times of confusion and uncertainty. This word, Hebrew word meaning the word cling, also means communion with God and to delight in him. Having communion, fellowship with God, and to delight in him. There's a verse that I often refer back to in my own personal walk with God. It has been so meaningful to me, and that's the verse in Mark chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. The Bible says, Jesus went up the mountain and called to himself those that he himself wanted, and the Bible says they came to him. The next line we tend to overlook. It says, that they might be with him. Then he sent them out. The first and foremost, stay there. Pause there, that they might be with him. And God wants us to know that he wants us to be with him. You see, when you're with him, you've been changed more to be like him. There's a change taking place in your life. The more you spend in the conscious presence of God, just waiting and meditating on him, you become changed in his likeness. No wonder Paul said in Philippians 3:10, that I might know him. That word know means know intimately. I want to know him. The power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable with his death. Paul hungered and longed to know Jesus. And that's why Joshua loved the presence of God, because he wanted to know him personally and intimately. And so he clung to him. The fourth key that Joshua gave to the people was the battle is the Lord's. In verse 10, one man of you shall put to flight 1,000, but it is the Lord your God who fights for you as he promised you. You see, trying to fight in your own strength, you and I know this, ends in disaster, in failure. Trying to do it in our own strength. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15, it says, Jahaziel, the prophet, said, "Listen, all you people of Judea and Jerusalem. Listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Maybe you're battling something right now, and you find it's too much. It's too much. We need to interrupt those negative thoughts with God's thoughts. We need to cut across those words. And the Mount Transfiguration, when Peter was talking about building tabernacles, the Father cut across him in mid-sentence. You see, I've learned to be consistent, learn to consistently speak God's word over Satan's words. No, I won't allow that to enter my mind. I begin to bring the word of God into it. I begin to plead the blood of Jesus. I won't allow that thought to deposit in my mind and become a stronghold. And so I pull it down in Jesus' name. Then I change channels. If you don't like that program, change the channel. Then start praising God. What happens there? You're focusing your attention on Jesus. You're turning your eyes on Jesus. You're looking full in his wonderful face. What's the goal of wrestling? To pin down your opponents. When the devil comes with his lies and deceptions about you, pin his words down with God's words. It is written. Don't have a conversation with him. Just counteract the words that are spoken over you or into you with God's words. Praise God, Jesus has won the victory for us on the cross against devils and demons. In Colossians 2:15, it says, "And having disarmed the principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it." You see, spiritual warfare for us today is enforcing the victory. We're not fighting for victory, we're fighting from victory. And we need to get that into our minds. We're fighting from victory. We're called to enforce victory already won by the cross. And through prayer and confession, we come against. You know, the Bible speaks about the fact that Jesus is now seated in the position in heaven, the right hand of the Father, far above principalities and powers and rulers and wicked spirits and high places. And Ephesians 2:6, it says, you have been made to sit with him. Physically, you're here. Spiritually, you're up here with Christ at the right hand of the Father, the place of authority. And we need to learn to draw strength from where we are positioned, where we are seated. How do you do that? By confession. Father, I thank you that I'm seated with you. I'm seated with Christ at the right hand of the Father. I agree with what your word says, Father. Jesus won the battle, but we have got to enforce it over our lives, over our families, over situations. Remember, we have the keys of binding and loosing. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose, it's already bound and loosed in heaven. See, when you bind, you restrict Satan's activities. And when you loose, you set free that which has been bound by Satan. And we are exercising authority that comes from the very throne room of God. The last key, stay alert. Anyone sleep here right now? Warren, you okay? Yeah, good on you, mate. Verse 11 says, "Be very watchful of yourselves, therefore, to love your God." 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Stay alert. Watch out for your enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." That word devour metaphorically means to squander, to waste. Satan loves it when God's people waste time, waste their talents. They're so talented, but they never use it for the glory of God. He wants to wear you down so you give up. You give up the fight. Yeah, it's too much. It's too hard. And Joshua started with these principles and finished with these principles. It was total commitment to these principles that he learnt in his close walk with the Lord. Did he have challenges? Of course he had challenges. Did he have times where he felt like giving up? Yes, he did. It didn't just happen for him. He was resolute. He was persistent, spiritually aggressive. Can I say something? There's something about it when we come spiritually aggressive against the enemy. I refuse the enemy's tactics in my life. Joshua was totally committed to the Lord, and this is what he wanted to pass on to the people. And this is what God wants for each one of us today, so that we'll continue to walk in victory after victory after victory, and God gets the glory. You see, God's glorified when you overcome. He's glorified when you say, enough is enough, Satan. Get your hands off of God's property. Get your hands off of my kids. Get your hands off of my family. You know, his legacy, in Joshua 24:31, he says, Israel, listen to this. This is powerful. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had known all the works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. His influence, the impartation of these five important principles, kept the people after him steady, focused on the Lord. The word, separation, cling to the Lord. Recognize the battle is the Lord's. And stay alert. And I encourage each one of us to commit ourselves to these five keys as we move into 2021. Why don't you close your eyes as I pray God's blessing upon you? Let me just say, make one more statement. Just look at me for a moment. Just one more statement. The next move of God, listen to this, is you. The next move of God is you. You could be the spark that lights the fuse for the explosive power of God in your life, in your family, and the life of this church. The next move of God is you. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you today. Lord, we thank you. This is the last Sunday of 2020. Father, we can look back and see how you brought us through the battles. Brought us through the hardships. You've strengthened us, Father. You've strengthened us in this time. Lord God, we've proved your faithfulness as we heard. You proved your faithfulness to us. And we're here today because we can say, God, you've been faithful to us. I pray, God, as we apply these five principles in our life, go over them. Rehearse them in our minds. Meditate on them. This is what you said to Joshua. Meditate day and night. Then you'll make your way prosper. And then you'll have good success. Lord, as we meditate on these principles that Joshua had imparted to the people after him, let's take it to heart, Father God. You know, there may be someone here or online, you're watching right now. You don't know Jesus. And this message may have stirred your heart, but in your heart, you know you're not right with God. You don't have a relationship with him. You know, it's very easy. You can. Because Jesus died on the cross, not just for a select few. He died on the cross for you too. He loves you with an everlasting love. And in Romans 10 verses 9, it says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says you'll be saved. I'm going to say a prayer, and people here in the church are going to say this prayer after me. Maybe you're here for the first time. If you don't know Jesus, why don't you repeat this prayer after me? Let's all pray. Let's close our eyes and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that Jesus came to this earth to die on the cross for me, to bring me into right relationship to you. Your word says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts that you were raised from the dead, we'll be saved. I confess it now that Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart that you were raised from the dead. I invite you into my life. Wash me of every sin. Cleanse me. Make me whole. Come into my life and be Lord of my life. And from this moment on, help me to live my life for you. In your name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that for the first time here, if you're here, then please see myself or Pastor Lee or Pastor Nay. If you've done it online, Pastor Lee will show you what you need to do.
Awesome. If you're watching online, you pray that prayer, you can go to gc.org.au/first steps. Information about how to follow Jesus and get in contact with us. But I just